Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician and certified veterinary practice manager, Angel Martin.
Hello, everybody.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. Sorry for the slur. This episode 137 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So maybe that's one reason we should go ahead and standardize the intro and the extro.
Extro or outro?
Outro. Same thing. So, welcome. We've taken a couple of weeks off.
One. When we're late to this one.
Well, a little bit late, so that's true. You, I think, have researched maybe a story or two. I have not, full disclosure, but I think I do have some things to talk about.
Okay, well, shoot, let's talk about
it. I think let's bypass the weather. Beautiful today.
Spring is among us.
Yeah, up and down, but beautiful in Georgia. One of the big reasons I live here is because of the weather and the availability of everything. So, you were going to say something?
No.
Okay. The Oscars happened last night.
The Oscars did happen last night. I did not watch them live, but apparently it was pretty eventful.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the red carpet beforehand, and then I started watching basketball. I watched St. Peter's not advance through the NCAA tournament. Can't believe they got that far, but good for them. Kudos to them. Pretty impressive Final Four.
So we're going to skip the weather and we're going to talk about sports on our veterinary podcast.
Sports, yes, because I think it's very important to talk about sports. Dr. Hines' husband, Pat, he has all four teams in the Final Four in his bracket. Can you believe that?
It's pretty crazy. How do you get that? How do you guess that?
Smart, I guess. I don't know. So, anyway, we'll move from basketball to the Oscars, back to the Oscars. So evidently, Chris Rock got a slap in the face.
He did. That's my understanding for a joke that was not very funny. But more so, I think I shared with you that on our recent trip out to our VMG meeting, I did watch the King Richard documentary with Venus and Serena Williams. And I thought it was okay. A really good
I heard it was good. Movie. I'm just going to interject. I watched The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Oh, I watched that as well.
Which, that actress won Best Actress. Yeah. So I thought that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Which, that's a very interesting show. The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker.
Yes.
So, anyway. Go ahead. So, you liked King Richard.
I did like it. I thought it was a great show. So, good for Will Smith for winning Best Actor.
Do we know? Is it? I have not watched it. Is it fairly accurate? Is that what we assume? Or
so I believe in the end of the movie, there's it's like kind of blooper reel, if you will, but it's where like Will Smith is basically saying that like Serena and Venus had to get behind the movie in order for it to actually be into production.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Serena was a co-producer. So
okay.
I do believe it's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate, probably a little bit of sensationalism going on, but yeah, if they stand behind it, then I would trust that. So yeah. I need to put that on my watch list.
So my whole point about the Oscars is that in years past, there had been pets at the Oscars, like, you know, dogs that were there, or animals, essentially. I do not believe there were any animals present at the Oscars last night. However, there were some things that make you think animal, and it's kind of interesting because, like, as we've talked about on the podcast before, like, everything these days is about animals, because people are really kind of keying in on that emotional aspect of things when it comes to marketing and that kind of stuff. But the best costume award or costume design award went to Cruella, the movie. I would imagine it's for everybody, not just the main character, but I did not watch Cruella, but my understanding is that the movie was really not about, like the 101 Dalmatians movie, like Disney was.
I watched it. It was all about Cruella, and it was very
it was about her becoming a designer
twist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was very entertaining, and so
there were no dogs being slaughtered for coats.
Fortunately, yeah.
In that movie,
fortunately.
Again, I think it's interesting because when I think Cruella, I instantly think Cruella De Vil.
Yeah, and we can come back to that, but I think one of the reasons you want to talk about this is we walked in this morning and we have a Dalmatian in the practice. I have not seen a Dalmatian in this practice in 10 years or more.
That we actually have a couple. We have two, but the one that's coming in, I've not seen him before or met him before. But yeah, we do. We have a Dalmatian here in the practice. But no, my point was like that it seems like it gives you the sense of animal, but if you actually watch the movie,
it's
there's
not,
really nothing dog about it.
Completely agree.
Likewise, there is a movie that won for the best director, and it was called The Power of the Dog. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, I didn't watch that.
Is it going to be about yoga?
It's not. It's actually based on a novel from like the 60s, and it's about everything life, essentially. So love, grief, sexuality, like all of those things. There's no dog per se.
Was that the name of the...
I believe the book was similarly titled, if not exactly.
Okay. Huh. Cool. All right. So that's the Oscar wrap up.
Okay. So my point is that all things that seem to be animal related are not always. However, when you think Walmart, what do you think?
Sam Walton.
Okay. Think about
Arkansas.
On the, you have
lots of stuff
very weird...
at a decent price, but not high quality.
Okay. One stop shop, not high quality.
Yep.
Walmart, in my understanding, is trying to get into the pet industry, but not necessarily just pets.
Everybody's trying to get in the pet industry.
They're trying to get into the upscale pet stuff.
Oh, good luck with that.
So, they have announced that they have a new brand of products coming out. So, it's called Jinx, J-I-N-X. So, it has...
a brilliant name.
It doesn't have... anything, it doesn't have like a Walmart or a Member's Mark or any of their branding to it, but it is their brand, is my understanding. In addition to those treats, like Jinx dog food, they also are introducing Pretty Litter, which is a health monitoring cat litter.
Turns colors when the pH is either too high or too low, I would assume.
Yes. And then Barkfest in Bed toy collection.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to have a best friend's daycare and grooming service.
Oh, they're going to take that brand over, or they just are naming it that?
I think it's what they're naming that. I'm not quite sure exactly if they're taking over like the best friend brand.
Yeah.
But they're turning things more cutesy, which is definitely going to sell a little bit, in my opinion, because it gives people the sense to like... make it seem like they're caring for...
Who came up with the name Jinx, though?
I don't know.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Do you remember Hey Jinxie? Like, you could ask a question to Jinxie, I think, and I may be completely wrong here.
No idea.
But you could say, you know, you could ask anything into your phone, and it would answer the question. So, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I understand that direction, but... a lot of people in the veterinary space are looking to get away from the affordable pet wellness value-based pricing. And yet, when I say that, there are equal numbers coming into that space. And so
but you're assuming that Walmart is doing that, and that's my whole point. Like, when I think Walmart, that's what I think. But that's not at all what they're doing.
They're going to have to,
they're
in my opinion.
They're trying to become more, like, upscale with
they're
it. They're
trying to
offer these things.
But they are Walmart. That's like saying Waffle House is going to start serving a Delmonico ribeye. And people are going to pay $65. They're not going to.
Maybe, but this is what's happening. So right now it's a premium dog food that's only available in about 1,000 Walmart stores and in 10 locations. I think late this month or early April, they are going to be offering their daycare and their grooming services, which again, doesn't necessarily coincide with me when I go shopping for my lunch meat that I'm going to take
drop my dog
daycare.
Off and drop him off for daycare. But yeah, a one-stop shop to your point. And We've thought about this. We've discussed this. We've tried it. We've been in discussions with other companies. It seems like a great idea, but it's very difficult to pull that off and be everything to everybody. You can't do it,
sure.
In my opinion.
Sure.
So, along similar lines, Thrive, which used to be called Pathway
mm-hmm.
Veterinary Partners.
And then it was Thrive Affordable.
They had Thrive Affordable pet care clinics standalone in Texas. They decided to partner up with Petco, put 50-ish or so into Petco's, mm-hmm. and they have been bought out. And I think that was a mutually agreeable terms there.
Sure.
My ex-VMG mate, Andrew, had Vet and Care Clinics, same thing, six clinics in Petco's. He has pulled out, and there's another gentleman from Texas who had clinics in Texas and Arkansas that did the same thing. So I think everybody thinks it's a great idea. Let's go into these high traffic areas and be everything to everybody and get this exposure and provide a quote unquote quality product at a low cost, but difficult to pull off. So
sure. I just think it's interesting, right? So we talked about how Walmart and Meijer and these other places were going to offer this low...
veterinary services, yeah.
Yeah, they were going to offer low income or low cost vaccine clinics. And so now they've completely flipped the script.
They're marketing in my opinion. They're just marketing that. We don't know what it's going to cost or what the production costs are. They're just marketing, oh, we're going to change our MO. We're going to start doing these high quality things. And so... my strong opinion, right? I'm very opinionated, but you should market yourself that way, but let's see what they can produce and pull off. What are those products actually? They have their own, Walmart has their own flea and tick line of products. I don't know if they're any good or not, but we could call them high end.
You're missing the whole point. The point is that they're offering these high-end things to
supposed
people at a
end.
Walmart. So it's perception
yes.
of high-end. So you're saying that, but it's still going to cost a lot of money. And okay. we have talked about this before that, quite frankly, the people who and this is such a stereotype, but in my understanding, the people who are going to buy all of these extras, right, like emotional support for their pet. So I'm going to buy you a new dog bed, a new dog toy, a new right. shirt, a new
the
collar.
The best dog food, the most, you know, cage-free,
yeah.
all-natural,
yeah.
best.
They don't necessarily shop at Walmart, but is Walmart going to start attracting these people? Or are they upselling the people that were buying, like, Bill Jack dog food? Now to buy their Jinx
is
premium.
Is that even still around,
it
Bill
is.
Jack?
It is, actually. Wow. They sell it at Publix.
Yeah, yeah. I get your point. I'm just being like...
You're being super facetious. I get it.
Negative. Not facetious.
It's the same thing, is it not?
Not in my opinion, so...
Okay, we're going to have to look up the definition of facetious
now. All right,
now.
So last week we talked about the word of the week was foreign body, which was something... not meant to be inside the body, and typically it's either in the GI tract or under the skin. So guess what we had today walk through the door.
Can we go back? Facetious.
No.
According
okay.
to Google, the term treating serious issues with deliberately inappropriate humor.
Yeah, that's not what I did.
So, okay.
I was not being facetious, in my opinion. So, foreign body.
What did we have walk into the door today?
Well, it didn't walk in the door. It was carried in the door.
Was this the German Shepherd?
No, this was Zoe the cat.
Oh, I was like, gosh, I saw a German Shepherd get a scope today.
Yeah, we did a colonoscopy today. We did a linear foreign body removal from the GI tract from a cat from Hamilton Ridge that they
okay.
referred over. So as a refresher, foreign material within the GI tract, linear in the fact that it is lengthwise like string, or in this case, hair ties and ribbon. And the kitty cat had a mid small intestine obstruction that we had to go in to exploratory and remove. So I just wanted to bring that up. I was looking at my notes from last week and I'm like, oh, we talked about that last week. Must be important.
Mm-hmm.
Must be commonplace. And so definitely we tend to see those every day. The other thing I think we talked about last week was dentistry and the importance of doing regular oral health exams and or dental cleanings. Had a conversation with a couple of clients today after a 14-day recheck from pulling multiple teeth from their pet. And the last conversation was, you know, we really need to look at Scooter's mouth in 12 months. And I'm not going to tell you that we need to do a dental cleaning, but we need to strongly consider it. And my client said, oh, yeah, but, you know, I just paid $1,500 on this one, so I got to recover from that. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's because we did not do a dental cleaning for the last 8 years, mm-hmm. and all the teeth were rotten. So that has always been and continues to be very much a balancing act between when do we need to clean the teeth versus not. We don't want to go too far, but we also don't want to put the pet in the owner's pocketbook through that procedure unless necessary. So insight on that or comment?
No, I don't really. I mean, I agree for sure.
So, yeah, individual basis.
Yep. So back to some less what's happening here in Russell Ridge Animal Hospital stories, but more like across the globe. So we've talked a little bit about Ukraine and what's going on over there in the sense that it's somewhat, I don't know what the word is, heartwarming that people are so protective of their pets. Oh. And so that they're not leaving them behind, even though like it's obviously an awful situation what's happening. But there's, I'm hearing more and more. And again, I don't know if it's just because like of the things that I look at, obviously they're all animal related. And so like, maybe that's why it's all coming my way. But I read that Merck Animal Health, which okay. we
partner
yeah. with for a lot of our products like vaccines, our parasiticides, like heartworm prevention, flea and tick prevention, and medications. So Merck Animal Health and the American Veterinary Medical Foundation,
AVESMS,
they came together and they are giving $100,000 in support to animal care in Ukraine.
So I read today that Petco, who I kind of, I don't know that I bashed them a minute ago, I hope I didn't, but Petco, and it's called Petco Love, which I'm assuming they changed the name from Petco Charities to Petco Love.
Mm-hmm.
I've not read that anywhere, but that would make sense.
Right.
Petco Love has pledged and or donated $1 million to the Ukrainian relief effort.
Yeah.
For pets.
So this $100,000 from the AVMF and Merck, it says it's specifically going to provide food, medical care, and disaster relief with emergency support for veterinary care and other organizations, which I think is great. Obviously, it can't happen if there's not funding for it because yeah. people won't go over there and do it. Likewise, there was a lion and a wolf that were recently evacuated from Ukraine. I don't really know too much about it, but my understanding is that they were not tranquilized by any means. So I personally don't know that that's a good thing, but I think it's being touted as a good thing.
Do you know where they went or any more than what you just said? Or
I don't. I know that I could probably find an article about it, but I did see it kind of come through like social media and that kind of thing. So
crazy.
It looks like they went to Spain. Some in Belgium.
Because that's where all.
Yeah, but again, like, what were they doing in Ukraine? I don't think they were wild animals. I believe that they were probably like zoo.
I don't remember the number, animals. But this morning I read an article about how many Ukrainians have come to the U.S. I think it's millions.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. I could be wrong on the number, but I was just like shocked. I didn't think about Ukrainians coming into the U.S. Just to be safe.
Sure.
So I also heard earlier today that the Ukrainian president is considering becoming a neutral country in order to end the war. And so I think I don't know his name, he is trying to do everything he can for the country and the people in it. And I think Putin is probably not thinking the same way. So that's about as political as I will get.
Yeah, I think that, yeah. I don't know that much about it. And
this morning, Joe Biden.
I feel bad talking about, you know, politics or whatever, because I really am not well versed on it at all.
I'm the same way.
But again, my point of it all is the sense that, I don't know, again, it just kind of, it ties it all back to animals. And like, we don't even speak the same language, but yet you can see in a picture someone holding their dog, like, and just the love.
yeah.
that they have for that
animal.
Human-animal
bond. I mean, I used to think that was kind of quirky when I was early in my career, but it is a real thing. It really is. Really.
Really, really.
Okay. Do you have more to talk about? Because I'm...
I don't necessarily have a ton more to talk about. I mean, there's the spring is coming, so be
spring
sure
to is here.
Give your, well, it is here technically, but be sure to give your pets their heartworm prevention, their flea and tick prevention here in the Southeast. And quite frankly, I'm going to go as far as to say probably across the country, we should continually give pets those preventions on an annual basis.
Best recommendation is give those preventatives every month. And so we, since we went with a new product launch as far as every 3 months you give Bravecto versus a monthly product because we felt like that was...
For fleas and ticks.
Yeah, for fleas and ticks. It's a better way to prevent those problems and you have less opportunity to miss those doses. And so Merck actually has a QR code to scan and we at the practice can help you just do that on your phone really quick and it will automatically provide reminders. We, kudos to you, I didn't think of this, but Sentinel Spectrum is also our preferred product for monthly heartworm, intestinal parasite prevention, and we made a very strong recommendation that they need a QR code to establish that reminder system as well.
Sure, and go into your Google Calendar or your Apple Calendar, of course.
I think they took that seriously. So.
But yeah, so again, with spring, it's just making sure like people are going to get more active outside. We are starting to see more people travel. I think we have 3 international health certificates just yesterday
today.
And today.
Yeah.
And so obviously people are traveling. They're traveling with their pets. And so with that always comes safety. And so...
So I wanted to talk about safety. So you brought up the story, and I heard it either this morning or yesterday, the young child that died at Disney. Not Disney.
It's not Disney.
That's not,
Icon.
It was a different amusement park in
Icon.
Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And so... What, 8, 9, 10 years ago, we kind of used the book, If Disney Ran Your Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We used that for staff training and safety first. I remember that and always will.
Yeah.
You know, if you're at Disney and you or someone you know dies on a ride, what was the experience like? So safety first. That's the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that story.
Yeah, no, that's... serious tragedy, honestly. It's if you're riding an amusement park ride, it's one of those things that you're always like, oh gosh, that could happen, but
you never really think it would happen.
No, and it's almost that fear that is an adrenaline rush and like gets you on the ride, and then of course those endorphins kick in when you're done with it and you're like, oh dang, that was so great.
Yeah. I don't know, that's not me. I don't like scary movies. I don't really enjoy the roller coaster rides. I don't really enjoy being out on a rough ocean. So that all is not my cup of tea.
Well, anyways, I guess for me, right? It's like if you're going to ride a ride, you always think about like, oh, dang, this thing could derail. This could whatever. What if my seatbelt's not whatever? But, you know,
which
you
was the problem, I think, in this case, the seatbelt issue.
Yeah, you take for granted the fact that, you know, like, oh, it's, yeah, I thought it could happen, but it's never going to happen.
It's horrible, but yeah, tragic. But I guess just, you know, in the big scheme of life and things, safety first.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So you want to go do something super fun, you've got to really consider that.
You talk about the,
I'm gonna say pets
the book,
as well.
If Disney Ran Your Hospital, but they always talked about how safety was their number one, but you didn't feel it. And so that was like...
Super undertone, yes. It was not like, be sure, yeah, they didn't shove it down your throat.
They still made it the happiest place on earth,
but it still was
the safest place.
I was just going to real briefly go there with animals. Animals are a joy. They are a huge part of our lives, most of us.
Mm-hmm.
Safety first, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's a number one rule with owning an animal. If you have an unsafe animal and you're afraid of that animal and they have behavioral issues, that's not really a reason to own that particular animal. I'll go there.
Let's go there, because you're saying if it's unsafe and if you're afraid of it, that doesn't even have to be the case. The point of the matter is yes, our pets bring us joy. They bring us companionship. They bring us excitement, fun, like all of these things. but in the end, we're not the same. And so I will bring up two instances that I know of animals recently. We have a staff member here that actually was bitten in the face by their own house pet. So much so, had to get stitches. And so there's no fear associated. There's nothing. It's that pet's reaction. I don't know exactly the whole situation, but it's that pet's reaction to whatever happened. Likewise, my family and I, we went to, there was like a beer festival in Suwannee, and afterwards we went to a restaurant. And the girl who was our waitress had significant bruising on her face and facial stitches. And it absolutely looked like a dog bite. So it took me probably three times for her to come to the table for me to ask her gently, you know, like, kind of what happened to your face, but not in such a rude way. But it was her friend's dog, and she had been over her friend's house many a time. She and the dog were playing, and the dog bit her in the face.
So I add to that, I, about 15 years ago, got bit in the face by a golden retriever. Never thought that breed would bite me in the face. We have a doctor who a week ago got bit in the face by a client-owned animal, probably needs plastic surgery.
Yes.
We have another staff member who her boyfriend got almost mauled, it sounds like, by one of their dogs during a dog fight. I have a client, one of my better clients, I will say, who has recently discovered that her breed of dog is unpredictable and will not allow the grandchildren to be near the dog anymore. We have, it just escaped my mind, but we had one more instance that was just, we have the Dalmatian that's here got relinquished yesterday because it's unpredictable and the owner cannot trust it.
So pets are great, but there are these instances. There's multiple
for sure.
aspects to all of these situations, right? Like, it's not a one-off. It's not that dogs are bad by any means.
Yeah.
There's tons and tons of things. And so this dog that you were talking about that was relinquished, it was not euthanized. It is going to be
behaviorally
worked with
trained, and neutered,
addressed, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're saying that there's one or the other, but I do think in the current climate, where we're so dependent on the relationships with our pets that we sometimes take for granted that they truly are animals.
We're going to sign out here shortly, and you're going to sign out by saying without people,
pets are simply animals.
And that's true. The other thing is we need to realize that pets need limits and repercussions. Don't take that negatively, but
Boundaries,
I think, better than repercussions. I knew that was not the right word, but boundaries and limitations and corrections, because think about if you have 1 or 100 kids and you let them do whatever they want and there are no repercussions.
It's not a very good example.
No boundaries.
From a person without kids, I do believe that people let their kids do whatever they want. And so,
FYI, like everybody does.
No, but not every dog owner lets their dog do whatever they want to.
100% agree.
But it's kind of like, I would assume, rearing a child, right? They don't come with manuals, and
different.
You have one child, and you're learning on the fly. You have a second child, you try to do it the same way, but they're a different human being, and so you can't. It's the very same thing with animals. You have a dog, and my parents say it all the time. We had a dog when I was a kid named Brownie. She was the best dog ever.
What color was Brownie?
She was brown. Basically came potty trained. Like, she was a good dog. She also ate free food, like ad lib. So they would pour food in a bowl and she would eat. Now we have our dogs on scheduled feedings. Is it the dog? Is it the person? Is it the training? Is it, like, what is it?
It's all of the above.
There's so much. Yeah. But nonetheless, my point in this is not to go super, super negative. I do absolutely love my dogs. But I do feel like we are almost in a time where we need to just remember that they are dogs.
Pivotal point.
And cats.
Yeah. They're not people. And yeah, it's great that we somewhat humanize them in one way, but in another way, it's completely not.
Right.
So, okay.
Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry.
I was going to say until next time we meet, but go ahead.
Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. And remember to hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And lastly, Dr. Miller, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.